This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking today on Keeping the Faith about an open university that's in Champaign-Urbana called CUMUniversity. And our guest is Paul Heiberger, who's the coordinator of that program. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, Steve.
And we'll have a special guest that I'll be introducing a bit later as we learn more about some of the offerings of that open university. What is an open university? How's that different from Parkland College or the University of Illinois?
Well, the main difference, I would say, is that with CUMUniversity, there's no specific registration requirements for anyone. You know, Parkland, you have to be registered in the school. You know, U of I have to be registered in the school. And in CUMUniversity, we've got U of I students, Parkland students, community members from as far away as Tolono. So,
and people can just sign up to take a course.
Mm-hmm.
Or sign up to teach a course.
Exactly.
But they don't get credit for it, right? There's
right.
no academic
right.
credit.
It's purely for the interest in maybe gaining a skill or learning about a different culture, new language. Or for the teacher, it's simply for the interest in teaching, mostly.
Now, the teachers do get a little bit of money for teaching these classes, and people do pay a small fee. But tell us how much that is.
It really depends on the class. Some classes are offered for free, you know, the epitome of the teacher really just wanting to teach. But really the most expensive class, I think, is about $40 a person, and that gets split between the instructor and the University Y, which has the space.
So these are classes that have been being taught in Champaign-Urbana for how long?
The program started in 1977, so this would be the end of the 29th year of classes.
And back in the 70s when this program was begun, and as I recall reading and learning about the history, it was started as part of a movement across this country for free universities, open universities, as a way to teach things that perhaps weren't typically taught in colleges, or if they were, as you say, you had to be a registered student, and there were other people in the community that might like to take them. I know when Steve Douglas, who was a professor, he's retired now, but was a professor in political science, he was one of the original proponents to get this started at the University of Y, because he felt it was sort of good politics. It was good practice to have these kind of opportunities available for just anyone.
Sure, and it brings a great deal of people in, and like I said, from a wide variety of areas. I mean, people from you know, all parts of Champaign and Urbana, but also some of the surrounding towns, Rantoul. People come in and will take, you know, a ballroom dance class that is affordable and at a time that they can take it.
Sure, and we'll talk more about that later, but tell us about the broad spectrum of classes. What are some of the things offered, for example, this coming semester? When do they start, and tell us about what some of the classes are possible.
Well, most classes start February 6th. Some have different start dates, but most of them start then. And literally the range is as far as from bird watching to Spanish for beginners, martial arts classes, several different dance classes. There's actually a class taught by a new instructor called Poi, which is apparently fire dancing. I'm not sure where she learned to do that, but she's going to be offering it at the Y. A great deal of kind of cultural and special interest classes. There's a Polish culture class. There's a detective movie class. And there's even a lot of exercise classes, some yoga classes, and a lunch hour workout class, which is great for a lot of people, particularly at like Lincoln Hall, which is right across the street, you know, come over and have a workout during the middle of the day.
And where can people learn about these classes and how to take them, how to sign up for them?
Well, the easiest way would probably be just go to the WISE website, which is www.universityymca.org, and then click on the CUMUniversity link from there, and it's pretty self-explanatory. Otherwise, the WISE is located at the corner of Wright and Chalmers, which is directly across the street from Lincoln Hall, if you're familiar with campus.
And there are printed catalogs as well as people can register online, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
People can pay online through PayPal. Yep. They can register online, or they can pick up a catalog. And catalogs are distributed how?
There's a huge stack of them at the Y that you can pick up one from, but there's also several. Pretty much every local coffee house has a stack sitting there. Strawberry Fields has some. So if you're in one of those places, you can pick one up there.
Also, the religious foundations around campus have them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of the churches and have a few as well.
Okay. And if people can't find them any of those ways and can't get to the Y and don't have access to the internet or don't want to go to the library or whatever, they can call you.
Mm-hmm. 337-1514. And you can feel free to leave a message. We'll get back to you.
337-1514. That's an area code 217 to get more information or find out about getting a catalog. Let me introduce our second guest. Here in the studio today, we not only have Paul Heiberger, who's the coordinator of the Communiversity program at the University of Y, but we have one of the real community treasures here in Champaign-Urbana, who's been teaching ballroom dancing at the Y and at the University of Illinois and at the park districts. We have Aurora Villacorta. And Aurora is sitting here to my left and has been teaching at the Y. Let's see, how long, Aurora?
I've been teaching at least around the time that the program started.
And before that, you were at the University of Illinois.
I was teaching at the University of Illinois in the Department of Physical Education then, but now it is called the Department of Kinesiology.
And you came here as a graduate student. Did you come here directly from the Philippines?
Yes, I came as a graduate student. I was offered an assistantship, and I took it. And it is a very rewarding experience to be in this type of environment.
Now, you are a graduate of the of a university in the Philippines.
Yes, the University of the Philippines is a state university.
And you graduated from there in 51.
And then
what did you do between 51 and when you came here in 1964 to the University of Illinois as a grad student?
I was a high school teacher and a college teacher later on at the Philippine Normal College. It's a training institution for elementary school teachers. It's a premier training institution. So when I came here, I was really a full-fledged teacher.
And you came then to graduate school to get a master's.
Yes.
In physical education.
And in leisure studies.
Leisure studies.
Or recreation then.
And
recreation.
Your specialties were teaching what?
At that time, I was considered as a generalist, meaning in the Department of Physical Education, they gave me sports activities. You can't believe it, like basketball, softball, gymnastics, dancing, basic movement.
And as a graduate student, you learned all those things if you didn't know them already, and then you taught them to the undergraduates.
Yes, and I enlarged on them, and I had a great time.
Now, you continued teaching at the University of Illinois after you got your master's. You went on to the faculty there, the staff?
Yes. I went home after I finished my graduate studies and then came back on a full-time and another assistantship to continue on my doctorate. But then I was asked to teach full-time, so I just concentrated on the teaching at the university.
And you retired in 1991?
1991, yes.
But you kept teaching. You've always loved to teach. Tell us some of the places you've taught.
Yeah, my passion is really in teaching. I taught taught at the YMCA at the Urbana Park District. I was the one who started their ballroom dance classes there. And at the Urbana Adult Education classes.
Now, when you say you teach, now you've been teaching at the Y since 1965 or so, or no, I'm sorry, since 77 when the community started. You would teach in the evenings.
Yes.
And how many classes would you typically teach in a week? What would give us some of the names of the classes?
I would teach the beginning. At Y, I always taught ballroom dancing, like beginning, advanced, or intermediate, and then the specialized classes like the tango, the samba, the quick step, the salsa, mambo, merengue, and those are more special dance classes.
Now, when people sign up to take a class, you want them to take it seriously. You want them to learn.
Definitely.
You want them to learn as much as they can, as quickly as they can.
Yes, I am very, how shall we say, disciplined. Not strict, but disciplined. I wanted them to get their money's worth and the time that I spent on them and the time they spent in classes. So that in that way, they feel that they got their money's worth.
But you also want it to be fun for them.
At the same time, yes. Uh-huh. That's why we have these Sunday practice sessions for free at the Alina Union, because we established a ballroom dance club. And it's free, and I'm there all the time.
Uh-huh.
So that if these students forget the steps, Miss V is there.
I see. And I might say, for those who haven't had the pleasure of meeting Miss V, that is her nickname, Vilja Korta, I've learned to say, but sometimes I don't say it exactly right.
That's well done.
Well, thank you. You are from the Philippines. Tell us about your family.
I come from the Philippines. I come from a big family. I am the second to the oldest. And
how many brothers and sisters?
I have 5 brothers and then 3 sisters, but 2 or 3 passed away already. Mm. And most of them are here in the States, except for 1 brother in the Philippines, because we still have a home over there in Manila.
And dance is a very, very important part of Philippine culture, isn't it?
Definitely, yes. We love dancing. We love singing. Everything seems to be fun when you have dancing in your life or singing in your life.
But the kind of Western dancing, formal ballroom dance, is that popular in the Philippines?
Yes, especially now. But even then, we have already those ballroom dances.
Did you? When you were growing up?
When I was growing up, when we have those socials and junior, senior prom. But it's not that well organized as what we have it here now, as I've done here at the university.
Mm-hmm. We're talking today about an open university that's in Champaign-Urbana called CUM University. It's one of the programs of the University YMCA, where I'm the executive director. What does CUM University, Paul, have to do with ethics and values, which is the topic of keeping the faith along with religion and spirituality? Is there some ethical principle that is behind CUM University?
Well, I think the mission statement of the Y and the kind of open experience that the Y supports would be one part of that. But I think one thing is just what Ms. V was mentioning about how with the singing and the dancing and the happiness that people can have from learning something new, and having new experiences, maybe not an ethical experience, but certainly a borderline spiritual experience, depending on the kind of class that you want to take.
When I first introduced Miss V to our listeners, I mentioned that, in my opinion, she's considered by many a local and regional treasure, and there's a sign of that because there's a statue in Meadowbrook Park in Urbana called Tango. And here's the inscription on that statue. Some who helped with the purchase of Tango, and the artist, incidentally, is Larry Young from Columbia, Missouri. Larry Young created Tango. So the inscription says, some who helped with the purchase of Tango wish to honor Aurora Villacorta, instructor and lover of ballroom dancing in Champaign-Urbana for many years. Thanks, Miss V, for introducing us to the many joys of ballroom dancing. Your firm hand helped guide us through the fears and insecurities of the beginning ballroom dancer to the smiles and confidence that comes from a little experience. Some of us found a lifetime hobby, others a lifetime partner, and a few became national ballroom dance champions. We all had a good time. That's the inscription on the statue in the park. And for those of you who've enjoyed walking through Meadowbrook Park, through the native prairies there, and we'll be talking about that in a minute with Paul, have perhaps seen this lovely, somewhat abstract statue of two dancers entwined in a lovely pose. So, Ms. V, at least, how would you answer that question? What values? I know you're a very religious person, a Catholic. What values do you see in what you've chosen to do for your lifetime profession, teaching dance?
I noticed that students become more responsive to each other. It develops in them that coordination. Dancing develops their self-esteem, and they have that great vitality for life, and they learn how to socialize with the opposite sex or with the same sex. And because of that, they make their life more enriched, in my opinion. They look forward to my dance classes. Not only do they learn the steps, but they learn the etiquette. For me as a teacher, it's not just learning the steps. It's learning the etiquette, how to communicate with your neighbors, with your friends, with the opposite sex. That builds up your confidence and your communication, too. If you don't know how to talk, how can you get a partner on the dance floor? You cannot just wink at them or shove them on the foot and say, let's go to the dance floor. And I keep on telling the girls, you should never answer such kind of visual or contacts like that. They need to know how to address you properly, with proper etiquette.
I want to talk about some of those etiquettes and how those have changed over the years in the half a century that you've been teaching dance in a moment. But let me let listeners know that they also can ask questions or make comments. And perhaps we have some graduates of the dance classes of Miss V listening who'd like to call in and say a word to her. Or perhaps you've taken other courses with CUNY University you'd like to say a word about. You may do that in Champaign-Urbana by calling 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, the call letters of this station, of course. This is a live program. We're on from 5 till 6 p.m. Sunday nights every week. If you're listening to this on the Internet, and that can be done throughout the world these days, if you're listening live, you may call us toll-free if you're in the continental U.S. by punching in 1-800-222-9455. So the toll-free number for those out of town is 1-800-222-WILL. And I see we have a caller already with a comment or question. Let's go to line number one. You're on Keeping the Faith with Paul and Aurora.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say hi to Ms. V. This is Larry Adelston. I'm a former student of hers, and I just wanted to say how great an effect having taken dance classes with her, and how much confidence it builds in your spirit, and it just makes you feel warm and comfortable and happy to be able to, you know, dance, you know, and be relaxed and confident when asking, you know, women to dance, and it's a wonderful experience, unfortunately, my wife and I haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to dance lately, but we want to get back to it because it is such a great experience.
Larry, let me just ask you a quick question, if I may. Had you done any dancing before taking the class, or were you a complete novice?
Well, I'll tell you, I took Miss B's class when I was a student. I took one of her classes, her very beginning class, and this was in like 1984. So this is a long time ago when she was still a professor at the university. And I enjoyed it very much, and unfortunately I didn't continue with it. And then much later in the mid-90s, my wife and I decided to sign up at Community University and take classes, and we got pretty far, and we really enjoyed it, and it was a wonderful experience for us.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sure, appreciate it.
Hi. It is really nice to hear from a former student. I know Larry and his wife very well. I'm so happy to hear from him again.
Have you ever tried to figure out, Ms. V, how many different students you've had teaching dance to at both the university and the Urbana Park District and at the Y University?
I have met a lot of nice people, various degrees and types of work, that they really know me wherever I walk around the campus. Even on the bus, they would know who I am.
Now, you've certainly had students who were just naturally good dancers, who were coordinated, who had rhythm, who could hear the music, who were sensitive to their partners,
yes,
who were
yes.
good at either leading or following or taking turns or whatever.
Yes.
But haven't you also had people who would be more like me, who are who didn't grow up dancing, who came to it very late, and who maybe weren't naturally coordinated? How do you deal with students who aren't very good?
Yes, I have met types of people like that, but I keep on telling them I specialize on those type of people who would consider themselves as having two left feet. In fact, I give them more attention and more individualized instruction, mm-hmm. that when they get the steps well, I feel like I'm in heaven, that I have touched someone else, and they express their happiness for being able to dance together with their partner. So it's really very comforting.
But isn't it embarrassing for a student who's just trying to learn something new and not very good at it?
No, not at all. That's one of the feeling of most people who think. They think that they cannot do it, but not until they try it. So I would pair up with them and let go of their partners and tell their other partners, okay, go to the other side. So I just so to give them that confidence, that needed confidence to stand on their own 2 feet.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the specifics. What are the courses in dance that you'll be teaching this session that starts February 6th at the Y?
I have this beginning class which covers the basic steps like waltz, foxtrot, swing, cha-cha, and the polka. And believe me, in 5 sessions, I can assure the student that they can dance admirably and with confidence on the dance floor. As long as they don't get absent, they don't miss any of the classes, they can dance those 5 dances.
And those classes would start on February 6th, on a Monday night from 6:30 to 7:40.
And another one on a Tuesday night.
A Tuesday from 7:40 to 8:50.
Yes.
And those cost $40 per person.
Yes, uh-huh. yes. It's very reasonable.
And how long, and that lasts,
like
classes
seven,
go till March 16th.
March 16th. That's 5 week classes of 70 minutes each class.
Mm-hmm. And that's ballroom, beginning ballroom dance number one. What's
yes.
beginning ballroom dance number two?
Beginning ballroom dance 2 involves the same 5 dances, foxtrot, waltz, cha-cha, swing, polka, but I introduce the Latin dance rumba, wherein they learn how to do their Cuban motion, which is the distinguishing mark of the rumba dance.
And that involves the hips.
The hips, yes. So once they know how to learn that Cuban motion, then they can do the salsa, the merengue, and the mambo with confidence.
And beginning ballroom dance 2 that includes those Latin dances is Tuesdays from 6:30 to 7:40, also starting February 7th and at the same price.
Yes.
And these classes are taught in the big room at the Y, Latzer Hall. And it's accessible by bus, as well as there's parking at night.
Yeah, so it's on the first floor, too.
It's on the first floor. People can park free at the university lots
yes.
just half a block away.
We are lucky to have the YMCA Latzer Hall really devoted for dancing. I'm really very, very happy for the administration to really set aside that particular room.
Now, tell us what intermediate ballroom dancing is.
Now, intermediate ballroom dancing is an extension of ballroom dance 1 and 2, plus a new dance which is called Charleston. Not many people know how to do the Charleston.
But it's quite spectacular to see,
oh,
isn't it?
Believe me, whenever I take my students out to Indianapolis or to Paxton, to one of these dances there, whenever the band leader plays the Charleston, we were the highlight of the evening.
And that starts also February 7 on Tuesdays at 8:50 and goes till 10 at the same $40 fee. We have another caller waiting to talk. You're on Keeping the Faith, line number one.
Hi, Steve. This is Dave Noreen calling.
Hi.
Hi. I'm going to be teaching the Detective Mystery Movies course at the Community University program, and I thought I'd call in and talk to you about that.
Tell us about it.
Okay, well, this is kind of an extension of the area's Sherlock Holmes Society, which has been around since 1975, both as a campus club and a community group, and just anybody who's interested in film noir and detective films, Sherlock Holmes-related films, and that sort of thing.
And tell us what the course will be like, and when does it start, and what does it cost?
Actually, it's free. Once you register for the Y, you can just take the course for free. It's on Mondays from 6 to 9, starting February 6th. We'll be meeting February 6th, February 20th, March 6th, April 3rd, and April 17th. And Eric Johnson, who's been a longtime member with me in the Sherlock Holmes Society, is helping me out with it. And we'll probably start with a Sherlock Holmes film, and then kind of go with where the class wants to go. We'll have kind of a list of film noir and different detective films, and people can kind of decide which ones they'd like to cover in the course, and then we'll show a film and have a discussion of it each meeting.
So Detective Mystery Movies.
Right.
And Dave Noreen and Eric Johnson will be teaching it. Let me ask Paul, when teachers just want to teach a course free, what do students pay the Y to help keep the thing going?
Only $5, and already two people have done that for the detective movie class. So some people have already started to register for that. But the $5 is basically just to cover the room rental fee, because if we weren't having a class during that time,
Other groups might want to use the room.
Our location gives us, a lot of people want to use our space, and it's so convenient. So.
Right. And the Y is in an older building. It's been there for almost 70 years now in this location. But it's a wonderful spot right next to the quad. So it is a very popular place for all kinds of activities for students and other people in the community. But we do have bills to pay. We have to pay our light bill and our heating bill, which last month was considerable. So we may have to raise the fees a little bit for to help cover those costs. Dave, who would take this course?
Well, I think anyone who had a general interest in film, or who was interested in getting together with an interesting group of people and talking about detective films or just mysteries in general. The club over the years has had a real wide variety of people, probably a lot more engineers than you might expect, just based on the number of people in this area. But when you think of Sherlock Holmes being the first kind of scientific detective,
long before CSI.
But we also get a number of English majors and kind of a full range of people. The club died out a few years ago because a guy who had been doing it since 1976, every year he was a coordinator, he retired from the Illini Union. And so he had been kind of carrying the club for so long that it kind of died off without him. But one of the former members came back to graduate school and asked me and several others if we'd be willing to help start it up. And so we got it going last year and showed a few films. And we thought by making it into a course and having more detailed discussions and interactions on the films, it might be interesting to a wider variety of people.
Well, thanks so much for calling in and letting people hear your voice describing the course, and I'm sure people who are interested will sign up. But let me give the information again. It starts February 6th. It'll go right on February 20, March 6, April 3rd, April 17. Those are Monday nights from 6 till 9. See a mystery film and just talk about it with people who are interested.
Right.
Led by Dave Noreen and Eric Johnson, for only $5 for all those times. So
correct.
And people can sign up at the Y. Tell us, Paul, how people can sign up for the course.
Well, the building is pretty much open all day from 8:30 until 9 o'clock, and so anyone can stop in there at any time and pay with the person at the front desk, and through the website they can register at any time. So.
And the website again?
www.universityymca.org, and just click on the Comm University link, which would be on your left.
And people can call in also 337-1514, mm-hmm, and leave a message for Paul or talk to Paul. Let's see. We're about halfway through our program today. We're talking about some of the classes in this open university that's been going on at the University YMCA since 1977. Different courses each semester, fall, spring, and summer. And we're eager to have new people try these courses if they haven't. The whole catalog is available online at the site that Paul just mentioned. Paul Heiberger is the coordinator of CUNY University this year. Been doing a splendid job, and we have as our special guest in the studio today Aurora Villacorta, who is a longtime teacher of dance in this community, particularly at the Y. We'll be talking more with both of them in just a moment. If you'd have a question or a comment you'd like to make, perhaps you're a former student of Ms. V, do give us a call. The number in Champaign is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Elsewhere, toll free, 1-800-222-9455. Coming up on Keeping the Faith next week, we have Michael Mulberry, who's pastor at Community United Church of Christ, talking about the practicing congregation. Some very interesting programs have begun at Community Church, and Reverend Mulberry will be with us next week to talk about some of those. Matthew Murray of Urbana will be reading his poetry here on Keeping the Faith, February 12, and talking about the creative process. That's Matthew Murray from Urbana. On February 19, our guest will be Youssef Estes, who is being brought to this community by the Association of Muslim Women at CIMIC, the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center. And Youssef Estes will be talking about why there have been quite a few priests and pastors who have been accepting Islam. And we'll be talking about that interesting phenomenon on February 19. On February 26, here on Keeping the Faith, our guest will be an Israeli journalist, Hillel Hakim, who will be here for a whole week. We'll be talking with him on Sunday night, February 26, about Christian churches and their relationship with Israel. Quite a controversial topic. That should be interesting on February 26. And as always, listeners may join in on all of these conversations and give us a call, 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these programs. I'm the executive director of the University Y, which is the oldest continuous student organization at the university. It was started 133 years ago and has been continuing all these years, offering students an opportunity to do community service, to be involved in social action, to be concerned with issues such as the environment, tutoring kids in public schools as volunteers, restoring native prairies, all kinds of programs like that for students. In addition, for the community, we have things like Friday Forums coming up February 3rd, this week, Tuesday. William Schultz, who's the executive director of Amnesty International in the United States, will be our special guest, kicking off the Democracy at Risk series this semester, every Friday noon at the Y. free lectures. You can pick up lunch at our Thai eatery, the Y Thai, as some people call it. Wonderful Thai food. Each lunch is available, or you may bring your own lunch or simply come and hear the lecture. So William Schultz, Amnesty International, February 3rd, noon, at the University Y. Know Your University will start the following week, Tuesday, February 7th, and Jim Nowlin, who's director of the Civic Leadership Program at the university, will be talking about that program at Know Your University. That's noon, February 7th at the Y. Well, we have another caller waiting to talk with us on line number one. You're on the air with our guests, Aurora and
Hi.
Paul.
Yes, it's me, and I wanted to plug in for the community. My spouse and I have attended several of the courses, and I think it's a great, great deal. Last semester, we attended the faith thing, and taught by Pastor Tom. Anyhow, I really wanted to say it's a wonderful opportunity to pursue anything of interest that you have. So I just wanted to give a cheer for the university and for the community university, and I'll hang up and listen. I don't have a question at all. I just wanted to make that comment.
Well, we're happy to have people make comments, particularly when they're so positive. So thank you very much. One of the topics in Communiversity often is religion and spirituality. And Pastor Tom Neufer Emsweiler taught a course last semester and is again this semester. Paul, would you tell us about what that course is?
I suppose it's the one overt connection to this program in that he's teaching a series of courses on theology through the short story, but also two sets of courses on theology in film. So there's two different options of people to go through with him. And several people, including the caller, have let me know that Tom did a fantastic job last session. So I was really glad that he offered the class again.
Tom and his spouse, Sharon, are former pastors of Wesley Foundation, the United Methodist Church on campus, and know how to communicate very well with students and university folks. The theology through the short story will focus on writers such as John Updike, Ann Tyler, Kathleen Norris. People will be reading some wonderful short stories and having a chance to talk about them with Tom. That class will begin on February 21. That's a Tuesday in the afternoon from 1:30 to 3, and it'll go through March 14. And it'll be held at Grace United Methodist Church on Philo Road in Urbana. So this is one of the few classes that's not taught at the Y, but there'll be ample parking for that time of day at Grace United Methodist Church on Philo Road in Urbana. And it'll be also taught beginning February 23rd on Thursday from 7 to 8:30, going through March 16th at New Covenant Fellowship. And there's free on-street parking in Champaign that time of night. That class costs $15, and then for the materials, everybody will get a book with these stories in it. There's $10, so a total of $25 for that course on the short story. And then Tom's course on viewing short films, opening our eyes, viewing short films together, starts on February 25th, and that's a Saturday from 1:30 to 4 for $10, looking at some short films and talking about them. So you can register for those courses, again, by going online, universityymca.org, and then clicking on Communiversity, which you'll see to your left on the screen. Or you can pick up a catalog. They're distributed through the Daily Illini, through public libraries, I think every coffee house in town has them, the Religious Foundation, churches near campus.
Residence halls.
As well. So they're all around campus. Hope people will check out the various courses that are available. Well, let me get back to our special guest, Ms. V, Aurora Villacorta.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other classes you teach in dance at the Y. There's a special class on the tango.
Yes, all the special classes are held on a Thursday. Like the tango starts at 6:30, and then the others are samba, mambo, merengue in the following hours after. It is all for those students who like to learn more of these Latin dances.
So there's one for the tango, one for mambo, merengue, and salsa, and one for the samba.
And the samba.
Samba.
Yes. Samba, yes. Now, it's a Brazilian dance.
Now, what does a person from the Philippines know about all these Latin dances?
Maybe through the influence of the Spaniards, because they love dancing too. So it was easy for us to learn it just by watching the other people do it. But of course, if you want to be more technical, you have to take classes through workshops.
You mentioned that these classes are rigorous. I mean, you make the work. I mean, they're concentrating, but they're also fun. Tell us about some of the special fun things you do.
When we have these classes at Y, I also conduct Sunday practice sessions, which is free. And then we have these formal dances when we really have a live band. And students get a chance to dress up in their formal gowns, meaning long gowns, suit and tie. And when I was teaching at the university, students tend to rent tuxedos. And it's a lovely sight to see them do the Viennese waltz in their tuxedos with long tails. But then, even if they don't have these tuxedos with long tails, they can just have the ordinary suit and tie. So when these social dances, formal dances, are also free, they don't pay anything because the Student Organization Resource Fund gives us the money for that. We have the club known as the Ballroom Dance Club, which has been in operation since 1970. And I have kept up with it for the benefit of the students because I give my time to them through all these social activities.
Now, you've had some students who have gone on to really become experts at some of these ballroom dances. Tell us about some of them.
Yes. In fact, one or two of them have become professionals in dancing, and they have won awards. Some of them have their own studios in California. Some of them tutor individually. And it is nice to hear from them from time to time that they have done this, that they have done that. And then through the efforts of having taken classes at the university, it really makes me feel good about their accomplishments.
When people come to take the class, one thing that they know just from reading the catalog is that you have certain rules. You say no chewing gum in class. Why not?
Well, I tell them you wouldn't want to face a partner who chews gums and blow bubbles in front of you, and you wouldn't want to dance with them the second time around. That will be the end of that dancing with that particular partner. And then if also another thing I require of them is to be careful about their personal hygiene. I don't want them to come to the class smelling, having drunk a bottle of beer just so to boost their morale.
Uh-huh.
I want them to smell clean and proper on the dance floor. That will be assuring them that they will have a partner.
So you try in these classes to develop their confidence so that they don't need the help of alcohol to ask somebody to dance.
Definitely, definitely. And they learn after the first day of classes. Once you see the, I've always find it amusing in the first day of classes. I do not know what they're going to wear, what kind of footwear they're going to wear. And then I would tell them, today I'm going to have blinders in my eyes. But next time, I wish you would conform to what is expected of you, of the proper attire.
So you need leather-soled shoes or vinyl-soled shoes, because slippers and jogging shoes and tennis shoes and open-toed shoes are either dangerous or won't work.
Yes, okay. Definitely.
The open-toed, as people are learning, might be a little dangerous.
Yes, I have one student at the university. I kept on telling her, change your shoes, and sure enough, in one of the dances, the nail of the big toe was stepped on. Ooh. It went backward, and I mean, the bleeding. It was awful, and I can never forget that.
Yeah, we want to prevent that, don't we?
Yeah, so the open-toed shoes is a no-no in ballroom dancing.
Okay.
Particularly if you're a beginner.
Now, I know that some couples come to you because they don't know how to dance in a ballroom dance style. They may enjoy dancing more free form.
Yes.
But when they get married, they think at the reception they'd like to do a ballroom dance as the first dance for the married couple.
Yes.
And you do have special ways to help those people?
Yes, I told my students, particularly those who are in my classes, I would tell them, you know, if you take my class, I can give you free lessons when you have your first dance. I can give you help in making your first dance worthwhile. And in mm-hmm. fact, I have a couple of students now who are getting married this February. Mm-hmm. And last summer, I have another one who got married, and they really had a good time dancing their first dance. Mm-hmm. I even have a father whose daughter was in California, and they're going to have their first dance. So this is a father and daughter that I taught how to dance. Huh. And the father just liked it so much. Oh, I like the foxtrot. I want to do it well. So for two or three lessons, we have it at the Y, and mm-hmm. they were so pleased about it.
Very good. Now, when you're teaching these people to dance for that kind of an occasion, they know that all the eyes of all the people are going to be on them.
Yes.
So doesn't that give them particular stress?
I don't think so, because once they learn how to do it correctly, after telling them what is expected of them, they develop that confidence, and they forget about the audience. They're just concentrating on their partners,
uh-huh.
and they do it well. And whenever I'm invited to their dances, and I take pictures of them and show it to them, and they're really pleased of what they have accomplished for such a short time.
How have the dances changed in the 50 years that you've been teaching at the university and at the Y and at the Park District?
It has never changed. The regular traditional ballroom dances has remained the same. So whether you go to Russia or Spain or Taiwan or the Philippines, if you know how to do the waltz, you can know how to do the waltz. If you know how to do the polka, you'll be the highlight of the floor.
Now, swing dancing, I know, was popular when I was in high school in the late 50s and 60s. Was that popular in other countries then, or was that an American invention?
Yes, it's the same. Only the names have changed. During your time or my time, we call it the boogie-woogie. It's still the same. Or the jitterbug is almost the same.
Jitterbug.
Or the lindy is the same. Huh. Only a little few changes here and there, but still the same. If you know any of this, like if you go on a cruise, there will always be dancing, and you will know how to do it. And you will not be left without a partner, especially if you know how to ask partner correctly, like, shall we dance?
In the first half of this program, I quoted from the brass plaque that's on the statue that was given in your honor to the Urbana Park District that's in Meadowbrook Park, called the Tango. And some of the people who gave money toward that statue in your honor said, you've helped guide us through the fears and insecurities of beginning ballroom dancing to the smiles and confidence that comes with a little experience. Some of us found a lifetime hobby, others a lifetime partner.
Yeah, that's very true.
You've had people meet in your dance classes,
yes,
and then
some
ended
of them,
up spending their life together.
That's right. They get married and they met each other there or somewhere else in dancing that they did not know, and then sometimes they were forced by their partners to go dancing. I hate to say that.
After they got married.
Yeah, after they got, they would say, oh, he or she forced me how to go dancing, but I was happy to take it.
When you were first in graduate school here and then a teacher at the university and then at the Y, did you ever think you'd become a Cupid, helping people meet their marriage partner?
Well, it is not in my desire, but if it happens that way, I'm very excited to see that happen when they tell me, Ms. V, I'm engaged. Look at my ring. Or I'm aiming for that girl. What shall I do? Then I will give them little pointers. Mm-hmm. I said, learn how to dance.
Mm-hmm. We were talking today with Aurora Villacorta from the Philippines originally and in this country since she came here for graduate school at the University of Illinois back in 1964 and taught at the university until her retirement in 1991, and since then has continued teaching ballroom dance at the University YMCA. If you'd be interested in finding out more about her courses, do give the coordinator a call. If you have only access to the telephone, you can reach Paul Heiberger at 337-1514. You may also send him emails at paul@universityymca.org. You may check out the website to see how to sign up for these classes in dance and many other things at this semester's CUMUniversity by going to universityymca.org and then clicking on CUMUniversity. You may register online, pay online through PayPal, or by sending a check or stopping by the University Y on the corner of Chalmers and Wright Street, 1001 South Wright, across from the Lincoln Lutheran Student Center across Chalmers, or from Lincoln Hall across Wright Street, right next to the Pi Phi Sorority, right around the corner from Newman Center. Paul, tell us about some of the classes we've not mentioned. Cooking, for example.
Well, Miss V, in the a perfect example of her passion for teaching is actually teaching beyond her 16 different dance classes ultimately, because there's repeats of the different ball and pit. She's also teaching a cooking class and a rug braiding class. So some very, you know, a variety even within one teacher at the Y, but there's also a crochet class. There's other dancing classes.
International folk dance taught by Bonnie Teal and Sherry Dewan on Saturdays from 11 to 12. That's international folk dance. Irish, is it Sealy dancing?
I think so.
Sealy?
It's essentially, as I understand from the instructor, it's kind of like square dancing, but of a different
and
variety.
That's Ellen Dahlke. We'll be teaching that starting February 7 on Tuesdays in the wall room upstairs at the Y. And you mentioned the Poi fire dancing taught by Renee Schroeder on starting February 9th, the Thursday, in the wall room also from 12 to 12:30, right in the lunch hour if people would like to learn about that. Other classes?
We mentioned some of the theology courses as well that Tom is teaching. There's a wide variety of exercise courses, several varieties of yoga classes. We have a bumper crop. Last year we didn't even have a yoga instructor, and this year we have what ends up being is five, I believe, different varieties, different styles of yoga, different combinations with
and different teachers,
mm-hmm. and with Pilates as well incorporated in that. So some of these classes are a pretty amazing deal because you're getting a yoga class and a Pilates class mixed into one. Martial arts classes.
Tell us about capoeira.
Capoeira is one of our long term classes. I'm not sure exactly how long they've been teaching, but at least 5 years, I would say. And it's a Brazilian martial art, but it's also a type of dance. It's very stylized movements.
Spirituality almost included. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of movements that are involved with it. That it's not for self defense. It's more of an art form. I would say from watching the class.
Mondays and Wednesdays, 6:30, cost $6 per month. They have a children's course for capoeira Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 7:15, $35 a month. Let's see, Fridays, 7 to 9, starting February 6th. That's capoeira, Afro-Brazilian martial arts dance combination. Tell us about, there's a meditation hour, too, that'll be at the Channing Murray Foundation at 7. It's free, monthly, every second and fourth Thursday.
Yeah, Claire's caught that class for a while. I haven't had the chance to observe it, but she's a very good instructor.
Claire Zoke, and what about Introduction to Homeopathy?
Another long-term class. That is a class that focuses on sort of natural remedies to problems. There's an intro class that covers, kind of a broad sweeping things, use of aromatherapy and different herbal supplements. And then there's also a first aid class that focuses specifically on natural means of dealing with, broken bones or that kind of thing.
And an introduction to the Alexander technique, Wednesdays at 7, starting February 22nd.
Wes is he had a class last session. Went pretty well. It's, again, kind of a class that focuses on the movements of people and health.
Deborah Karplis will have a class on starting your own small business, Tuesdays, 6 to 9, starting February 14, $30.
A great deal, Small investment can get a successful business.
What is sabermetrics, the use of statistical analysis in professional sports?
A new class. This is a perfect example. Justin Havens, he contacted us and wanted to teach a course, and we'll see how it goes. It's apparently the different methods and thoughts on statistics in professional sports. So,
and it's for just the course is free. You just have to pay for the $5 for the help pay for the place rental and the materials fee in that case of $5. So for $10, a course in sabermetrics, use of statistical analysis in professional sports, Polish culture.
Actually taught by one of the registered student organizations on campus, the Polish Club, I believe. I'm not sure if that's their official title, but they're putting that together.
And that'll be Mondays from 5 to 6, late afternoon, starting March 20, going 3 weeks. It's free. Planning a happy life after college.
Another case where the instructor contacted us. Robert Dinner has a fairly extensive resume of giving kind of these kind of talks. It's basically a seminar of sorts, and he seems to have done it in a couple other places and has a pretty extensive background in terms of presenting different thoughts on what to do after you graduate.
And that's just $5, which is pretty cheap, good advice.
And there's even some classes that aren't listed here in the catalog because some people were too late in turning in applications. There's a bird watching class, and that is taught by one of the student groups on campus.
Our guests today on Keeping the Faith have been the dance instructor for CUNY, Aurora Villacorta, and the coordinator of CUNY, Paul Heiberger, who is also the student president of the University Y. Been happy to have them as guests and thank our listeners for calling in to Keeping the Faith today, giving testimonials of how much fun some of these courses can be and how good the teachers often are. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Next week, I have the privilege of interviewing Michael Mulberry on the topic, The Practicing Congregation. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
She's a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. Carlene Carter grew up surrounded by music. She's the daughter of June Carter and the stepdaughter of Johnny Cash. And Carlene followed in their footsteps with a few twists and turns along the way. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, we'll meet Carlene Carter. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana. Next time on PRI's The World, a Russian novelist unfit for military service in World War II sent himself to the German front as a war correspondent. His newspaper reports fascinated Russian readers and kept Kremlin censors working overtime. The Battlefield Notebooks of Vasily Grossman and the day's news next time on The World, Monday at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. here on AM 580 WILL Urbana. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, mostly cloudy with a chance of light rain or light snow. The low in the mid-30s with west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of light snow. Colder with the high in the upper 30s and northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with the low in the mid-20s and northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. It's 6 p.m. This American Life is next.